Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to The Andy Finn Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and today is June 19th, and this is the day in 1978 that Garfield first appeared in newspapers in the U.S. I have to tell you, Garfield is a pretty weak comic strip. I don't read it anymore, but it's still around. I never much liked it, and let's move on to something I did like. So this is the day the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was approved after an 83-day filibuster in the U.S. Senate. That was a filibuster to stop civil rights from becoming... I think the filibuster was done by former Senator Strom Thurmond. I say former because he passed away after serving 50 years in the Senate or something. Robert Byrd just passed Strom Thurmond as the longest-serving senator in the history of the Union. Also, in 1912, the U.S. government established the 8-hour workday. People forgot to tell my Uncle Wilfred that. And June 19th is the day that Father's Day was first celebrated in 1910 in this country. And it turns out that yesterday was Father's Day, of course, so happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Hope you heard from your kids. I did. And let's see, it's also the birthday of Lou Gehrig, who was born in 1903, Mo Howard, 1897, and Paula Abdul. We don't give out young ladies' name, years of birth. And for those of you who wondered when I skipped over Mo Howard, who he was, he had a couple of friends named Larry and Curly. And speaking of stooges, let's go back to Ann Coulter and her book. And let me move right on to Lou Dobbs and how Lou Dobbs is treating the Coulter book.
I have people saying, I should just absolutely eviscerate you here tonight and just destroy you, which really isn't my job. And
I think you are eviscerating me. You're doing a very good job.
Thank you very much. But, you know, the idea that the media has this reaction to you, I find fascinating, because you are... basically, forgive me, but the opposite of Michael Moore.
I know you do,
but I'm giving you one man's perception of possibility.
I think I am the right-wing Mencken, the right-wing Mark Twain. I am not the right-wing Michael Moore.
I will let you define yourself, obviously.
Well, I'm not going to let her define herself. The idea that Ann Coulter is the right-wing H.L. Mencken or Mark Twain is ridiculous. Now, there's a Twain Prize that's given out. The Mark Twain Prize for American Humor is given out every year, and Neil Simon was just awarded it. Ann Coulter is an unhappy person. If you've listened to her rhetoric, when you hear her, she is just angry and unhappy. And I don't know what happened to her in her childhood or whatever, but I have started a fund for therapy for Ann Coulter because this woman is in need of something. She's missing something in her life, and so she has to lash out at a big part of the country who she finds fault with. And I just don't know why she wastes so much of her time on liberals, since she finds them so distasteful, except that there's millions of dollars in it for her. There's an audience out there willing to listen to this drivel. But the idea that she's some kind of a humorist, I mean, the only reason I would say she's not quite the opposite of Michael Moore is that Michael Moore is not as angry and vindictive. You know, I think some of his ideas are over the top as well. But when you watch his movies, he gets some things wrong, but there isn't this anger and this take no prisoners, lay waste to them attitude that that Coulter has. And so this idea that she thinks she's in the mold of H.L. Mencken or Mark Twain is really, it's laughable, but it's really pathetic. And so now I'll give you an example. Let's just listen. I said I wasn't going to do too much of the the whole mess with the 9/11 widows. But let's listen to this exchange with Alan Colmes on Hannity and Colmes last week. She had a chance to say that the 9/11 widows, you know, she had said that the 9/11 widows were gleeful or happy, however she put it, about their husband's death, that they were enjoying their husband's death. And when he called her on this and gave her a chance to say that if they could have their husbands back, they would gladly take him back and give up the celebrity and everything else, she couldn't bring herself to say yes. She thinks these women would prefer to have their families back, their husbands back, fathers for their children's back. They'd rather have the celebrity and the money they're getting from this. And that's how small and narrow-minded and frankly wrong she is. Let's listen.
Because the Republicans just seem to fight their political rhetoric versus everyday reality. And the everyday reality is that this women did not seek their celebrity
status. This is Democratic strategist Laura Schwartz.
They didn't seek to be celebrity.
Do you think for one second
these women wouldn't give up whatever notoriety?
Woke up one day and suddenly they're on the Today Show.
Please answer my question.
They didn't ask for that.
Hold on one second. Decaf next time. Do you think these women, for one second, decaf, please, calm down. Do you think for one second these women would not give up every piece of celebrity and notoriety they have to have their husbands back?
Oh, I don't know. At this point, to give up $2 million
to have their husbands back.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't do that to have their husbands back. They would not give up. I want to be clear on this. They would not give this up to get their husbands back.
I don't know. Can't read into their hearts, but it isn't as obvious to me as it apparently is to you.
You don't think so?
Okay, I can't take that because they let everybody yell at each other on that show. But she basically can't bring herself to say that the 9/11 widows would rather have their husbands back. Now, in addition to all this, David Horowitz was on the O'Reilly Factor, and he called Ann Coulter a national treasure. Okay, let's see. Bernard Goldberg, of course, he's a well-known far-right guy who's written about bias in the media. And he agrees with her comments but her writing, but he criticizes the way she does it, okay? And so there's a whole bunch of these. You know, when you start talking about comparing yourself to Mark Twain, when in fact you're much closer to Michael Savage, the other main bomb thrower on the far right, I have to tell you that it reminds me of some things that Twain has said. I love the old Twain quote that says, "All you need in this life is ignorance and confidence, and then success is sure." Well, I have to say, I think that captures Ann Coulter pretty well. Also, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured, which I really kind of like. And let's see. Oh, yeah, Twain is the one who said this great quote, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." Anyway, I said I was going to cover a little bit of Ann Coulter and a little bit of Al Franken. So I've read you a little bit of what Coulter has said. Let me go on and see if I can find a couple more of her comments here. In theory, the only job requirement of a college professor is to be intelligent, provocative, and open-minded. But their reigning attribute is that they are ignorant, boring, and narrow-minded. These zealous pagans teach the official state religion of liberalism as axiomatic truth. Well, I deal with that on my show because college professors are not like that in general. Oh, there's just so much here that's drivel and not worth going into. She makes these long, convoluted arguments that don't really get her anywhere. Democrats get on their high horses about evil corporations making obscene profits, but try pointing out to them that trial lawyers also make enormous profits. You'd think, anyway, I'm not going to go into the rest of it, but evil corporations? I don't hear Democrats talk about evil corporations, right? Do corporations need regulating sometime? Yeah, that seems to me to be a pretty obvious principle. The question is, what do you do about it? At what level do you regulate them? And that's where the debate is, not whether or not they should be. Let me move to Al Franken's book, The Truth. And by the way, I'm no big fan of Franken. I think he has a lot of shortcomings. I don't think he's all that funny. But the level of conversation in his books is just at a much higher level than Ann Coulter's. So I'm going to his first chapter as well, to be fair, and this is his latest book, just like Coulter's. And I'm going to go in a few pages. So he talks about the election of 2004 and how he thought Kerry was going to win, and then by the next day it became clear that Bush was going to win. And then he talks about the reaction right afterwards and the fact that the Republicans were claiming there was a mandate, okay? So here he is. Bush's edge was 2.5%, smaller than even Woodrow Wilson's pathetic 1916 victory margin of 3.2%. The dust had not yet settled on the most narrow election victory by an incumbent president in the history of the Republic. Now, I'm no partisan, that's humor, I assume, but it really chafed my ass when Cheney claimed a, quote, broad national victory and a mandate for Bush's, quote, clear agenda. Mandate? We couldn't even tell who'd won until the afternoon after the election. In 36, FDR had a mandate. In 56, Eisenhower had a mandate. In 64, Johnson had a mandate. In 72, Nixon had a mandate. In 84, Reagan had a mandate. In 96, Clinton beat Dole by 8.5 percentage points, more than three times Bush's margins. I knew mandates. Mandates were a friend of mine. And you, 2004, were no mandate. A very clever reference to Benson. Yeah, Lloyd Benson's comments. Surely, this pretension to a mandate is just rhetorical flourish on the vice president's part. I'm going to skip down a little bit. But surely no one could echo it. But I'd forgotten the right-wing hacks. That same day, Bill Bennett wrote on the National Review Online, quote, Bush now has a mandate. Tucker Carlson agreed. It is a mandate. Peggy Noonan on Fox's The Sean Hannity Show that night had a similar view. Quote, he has, I would argue, a mandate now. Hack Rag Weekly Standard editor Bill Kristol staked out perhaps the most counterintuitive position. Quote, in one sense, we think of it as an even larger and clearer mandate than those that were won in the landslide re-election campaigns of Nixon, Reagan, and Clinton. So, he goes on to explain about the mandate, and he's poking fun at people, but there's a more, dare I say, studious? There's a higher intellectual value to me in just that little bit of what I read of Al Franken, chapter one, than in Coulter's book. Now, again, that's my bias, because I'm left to center, but the idea that Coulter is smarter than Al Franken, I don't see it, and the idea that she's funnier, I don't see that either. I don't think either of them are very funny. But when you're on the far right, you're going to think that the people on the far right are smart and they are correct. And when you're on the far left, you're going to think the people on the far left are smart and correct. And when you're in the center, you're going to understand that Andy Finn is smart and correct much of the time. That'll do it for another edition of the Andy Finn Show. We'll be back next week. And I'll be doing my regular show on Thursday from my website, andyfinn.us. Until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.